It used to be that if you needed to travel across the country, you wouldn't get on a plane necessarily, you'd hop on a train. And if you've ever lived on the East Coast, you know Amtrak is still the way so many people travel there. But there isn't even an Amtrak stop here in Phoenix. And out here in the West, Amtrak now wants to scale back travel options further.
Amtrak is proposing the publicly funded passenger train service close a 200-mile section of its Amtrak Southwest line and replace it with bus service. And that has train organizations fighting against what some are calling the beginning of the end of train transportation as we know it.
Many in Flagstaff are concerned the move will greatly reduce the number of tourists who come to their city by train. According to the Arizona Daily Sun, more than 41,000 passengers went through that city's downtown Amtrak station in 2016. For reaction to this, I got a hold of Sean Jeans Gale with the National Association of Railroad Passengers. They're the largest national membership advocacy organization for train and rail transit passengers. He's concerned that there's going to be a full-scale restructuring of the Amtrak network. And if this 200-mile section is closed off, you'll end up losing the entire route from Los Angeles to Chicago.
So this is viewed by many people in the advocacy community as kind of a canary in the coal mine issue. There has been a lot of conversations over the years about how to structure the Amtrak national network. It's gone through a couple different iterations. And we're at this point right now where we have new Amtrak leadership. It's a former airlines guy, Richard Anderson, who used to head up Delta. And I think people are concerned that we're going to start seeing Amtrak go the way of the airlines, where they really focus on urban corridors, kind of pull out of a lot of rural communities in America. And we've kind of seen some statements to that effect from Amtrak management over the past year, but we didn't have the smoking gun. And I think the Southwest chief decision to many people is that smoking gun, and it's time for them to act.
So I've lived on the East Coast before in New York, and there you take Amtrak a lot, like in the tri-state area. But out here in Phoenix, like, we don't have a major Amtrak stop in our city. It's not nearly as common on the West Coast in general, it seems. Is that the case? Like, how common is it that passengers are going to take these trains?
Well, there's two things to think about. The first is passenger rail is really growing on the West Coast, and you see that up from Washington State to Oregon to California. And in fact, three of the top five routes for ridership in the Amtrak network are in California. They're building a high-speed rail line. There's a plan to connect Los Angeles to Las Vegas, Nevada. And from there, there was the hope that they would extend that kind of corridor all the way to Phoenix, which is the biggest city in the U.S. without Amtrak service. So, you know, I think what we're looking at right now is kind of a renaissance for passenger rail. However, if you don't have that framework there, if you start abandoning cities like Denver and knocking them off the network, you really kind of impede your ability to move people. You impede the utility of the network as a whole. Like, think about the interstate system. If it just didn't go to Montana, or if it just didn't go to Arizona, it'd be very hard for Americans to really utilize it. And it's also hard to build a political coalition to support it.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the long distance trains specifically, you know, Amtrak pointed to declining service, which we thought was kind of interesting because it has seen a 1% decline year over year. But if you look at where it is compared to 2009, it's up 15% in terms of ridership. So, I mean, it's tied very closely to gas prices. So as we see gas prices continue to rise, I expect we'll also see more people rely on the service if it's there.
What would you like to do in the meantime to try to stop this? It sounds like you will be advocating against it, but what can be done?
So based on our understanding of the timeline, we have till around October or November of this year. So, you know, the first goal, the first objective for us is to make sure the train doesn't go away at all. I think we can do that by mobilizing the communities along the route, by mobilizing the states that are affected. Because it's seen as a domino issue where if one route is knocked over, there's going to be other routes that will follow. I think we can get a pretty broad coalition in both the Senate and the House. We actually, even though Republicans are the party of smaller government, we have actually seen record funding numbers for Amtrak in the last two appropriations bills. So we are seeing the kind of investment we need to improve passenger rail service in the U.S. And I think if we show Amtrak's new management that they are, in fact, a publicly funded company and they run on a mandate set by the people and the Congress, then we have a chance to head this off of the pass. And mm-hmm. and if we do that, I think we will save ourselves a lot of fights coming in the future about, you know, what happens to Montana, what happens to Utah, what happens to Texas, Louisiana, all these kind of states that are considered flyover country, mm-hmm. And where Amtrak is really one of the sole transportation providers.
So this seems, though, to be part of a larger narrative here. Amtrak has said for a long time that they make more money on these Northeast Transit Corridor routes. Is there an argument to be made there, though, since this is publicly funded, that they should focus their efforts where they're most profitable?
So what Amtrak talks about when they talk about the Northeast Corridor being profitable is they mean the above-the-rail costs. However, in terms of maintaining the actual physical infrastructure that allows the trains to run, so the below-the-track costs, the Northeast Corridor needs about $50 billion in public investment to keep running. So the whole point about the Acela Corridor kind of paying for itself is kind of a red herring. That's not to say that I don't think there should be public investment in the Northeast Corridor. It's just to say that no railroad anywhere in the world runs without some sort of public investment. Mm-hmm. And when you're really looking at the public investment required to keep a train like the Chief running, it's pennies on the dollar compared to what you need to keep the Northeast Corridor running.
So if this does happen, if these changes go through and they cut out this section here on the West Coast, do you think this is the beginning of the end for train transit in the U.S.?
What I can say is that once the trains go away, it's very hard to get them back. There was a Gulf Coast train that ran between Florida and New Orleans, Louisiana, that was knocked out by Hurricane Katrina, while freight trains started operating on that corridor again within a few months. It's been over 10 years. It's been 13 years, actually, and the Amtrak trains still aren't running. So every time we lose a leg on the stool, the whole structure gets a little shakier. That's not to say that there won't still be a train between Los Angeles and San Francisco or a train between Chicago and Milwaukee. I do worry about the 22 states where long-distance trains are the only service. And if the long-distance trains go away, I don't think those states get it back.
All right. Sean Jeans-Gale is the Vice President of Policy at the National Association of Railroad Passengers. Sean, thank you so much for joining us to talk about this today.
Thank you for having me.
We also reached out to Amtrak about this. The company sent us a statement saying the Southwest Chief route is facing significant future costs and track upgrades, so it's analyzing the route and considering options to enhance safety.
And you can read their full statement on our website, theshow.kjzz.org, and you are listening to The Show.